Welcome back. Simon Tsilikas in for Mitch Melnyk with Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis. This is Melnyk in the Afternoon on a TSN 690. Earlier today, breaking news. The Montreal Canadiens have dealt for Jonathan Drouin. In return, Mikhail Sergachev making his way to Tampa Bay. Every day at 5:05, we do this.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Hi, Simon. I thought we were going to talk about Phil Housley going to Buffalo.
Well, hold on. This was my lineup for you, okay? I wanted to ask you about Phil Housley. I wanted to ask you about Claude Julien and when will we find out about the rest of his staff. I wanted to get into the discussion about pro athletes and their general managers going to them to waive their no-movement clauses like Dion Phaneuf. And I was also going to ask you about the Montreal as destination for free agents. But at 3:05, Marc Bergevin goes to work and he deals for Jonathan Drouin. So that's the show. We'll save those questions for tomorrow. Or maybe we'll have new ones tomorrow. I don't know. even maybe a U.S. Open question I was going to throw in there, Pierre. So I don't know.
There you go. Interesting day for the Montreal Canadiens. I think Mitch Gallo asked me yesterday about Jonathan Drouin. I said, there's no way they're using him as a chip in the game to get a forward. They're trading him for a defenseman because that's their organizational need, and now they've built it. Now, to be fair, let's just talk about this openly. There's a lot of moving parts here.
Many.
Number one, the age factor. I know people say, no, one's 18, one's 23. That is correct. There's a big difference in age, huge difference in age, favoring Tampa over Montreal, just like Subban and Weber. Big age favoring, obviously, Nashville. So this is one part of it you have to pay attention to with your long-term vision. Secondly, Jonathan Drouin is a nice piece. He's a nice piece to any puzzle, but he's not the key to any puzzle. He is not the key. So now you're going to get a player. I'm just telling you right now, I know Alan Walsh. He's not a dummy. You're going to get a player that you're going to pay him at least $6 million a year on a six-year deal. So you're locked and loaded for $36 million. Buckle up. That's what you're locked and loaded on. And he's not a centerman. I don't know who's spinning this stuff about him being a centerman. He is a playmaking winger who can score goals. That's what he is. There's a little bit of Marcus Naslin in him. There's some other good Luke Robe. There's a little Luke Robitaille in him. He's obviously got awesome speed. There's a little Alex Tanguay in him. But he's a nice piece to the puzzle. Sergachev, on the other hand, had a terrible World Junior. We talked about it. Had a phenomenal second half of the year with this junior team and a great Memorial Cup. And I can tell you in Tampa, they envision him being in the top four of their defense. And that second round pick that's supposed to go, that'll get knocked out because of the 40 games, don't worry about the second round pick. He'll play 40 or more games there. Not a problem.
But Pierre, I just want to go back to Drouin here for a second. And I heard all the positives. Do you also think, tell me a little bit about this player. Does he not facilitate offense for his teammates?
He had two great years in junior, okay? I'll tell you right now. 1 year with Nathan McKinnon, got McKinnon to be drafted first overall. He helped McKinnon a lot with Halifax. The next year, with Nikolai Ehlers, he had a phenomenal year with Nikolai and helped Nikolai a lot. Now, Nikolai Ehlers and Nathan McKinnon are both center icemen. He's a playmaking winger. That's what he is. Can he facilitate offense? Yes. This is just, again, giving you all the facts as they are. He was not in the top six forwards for the Tampa Bay Lightning. There were players ahead of him. Steven Stamkos was ahead of him. Tyler Johnson was ahead of him. Andre Palat is ahead of him. Nikita Kucherov is ahead of him. Alex Killorn was ahead of him. And Braden Point passed him this year. So he's not in the top six forwards for the Tampa Bay Lightning, a non-playoff team.
But can I look at the positive to that? Is that a 53-point season, a 21-goal season in 73 games behind all that talent? So the limited minutes that he did get, did he make the best of them? And do you think that I think the ceiling, I'll say it again, I don't think he's a point-a-game guy. There's just not enough of them in the NHL, and I don't think he's one. But can we see a ceiling, Pierre, that is 65 to 72 goals, and maybe from those 72 points or what? 70 points, 25 goals?
Wait, okay, well, you said 65 to 72 goals.
Points.
So I think you meant points.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I was listening to everything you were saying. That's why. I could see 25 to 30 goals without a problem. Absolutely. That's the positive. Again, this is not a negative thing. These are the facts. That's why I bring them up as the facts. The truth is, though, he's not a centerman. So I don't know who's out there spinning that, but he's not a centerman. He's a winger, and he's a good winger. You know, he's a good winger. Alex Tanguay was a very good player in his prime in this league. Marcus Naslund was a very good player in this league in his prime. I helped draft him. I can tell you, those are some of the comparables for him. That's kind of what he was or is as a player. Those are very good comparables for him.
Pierre, what do you think of making a trade this significant within a division, and how does Tampa Bay's defense look when they have Hedman and Sergachev on there?
And Anton Strahlman and Braden Coburn. their team's good. Their team's good. And I've told you guys a million times, they've got a bunch of prospects too, just like Philadelphia and just like Boston. I don't think you need to worry about the division stuff so much. I mean, because he's got to play against Tampa too. So Tampa's got, you know, if Tampa was that concerned about that, they wouldn't have traded him to Montreal. Here's what I would be concerned with, and this would be the question that I would ask Steve Yzerman if I could. Did you have any discussions with Colorado about trading Jonathan Drouin there? Did you have any discussions with Winnipeg Jets about trading Jonathan Drouin there? Because if he did have those discussions, one would be to play with McKinnon, one would be to play with Ehlers, and everybody that watched junior hockey knows how magical those combinations were. If those two teams didn't want Jonathan Drouin, I would have a red flag up. I'd want to know why.
What about the issues between the team and Drouin? Obviously, he played 70 games last year, but we know there was issues between the team and Drouin. Would that concern you at all?
No, I don't. Everything. I just before we came on, I was talking with an NHL general manager about a player that's being perceived as a malcontent. And he's a malcontent because he's a competitive guy. He wants to play. You know, I'm around this player all the time. I see him, and I told this GM, don't be afraid to take him because of that. He's not a terrible person. He's a competitive person. There's a difference. Jonathan Drouin is a competitive kid. He wants to play. Could some things have been handled differently when he was going between Syracuse and Tampa? Probably. But young people make mistakes. We all do. We all make those mistakes. I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Pierre, the way I look at this deal, and I don't think the Canadiens, unless Alex Galchenyuk somehow is in play for a center somewhere else, maybe, whatever, Colorado or Minnesota, a contract that somebody wants to move, or a player that they're not content with. But what the Canadiens did today is, I believe, they increased their skill level. Would you say at least they highly increased their skill level, and they're not strong at the center ice position? And for those who don't know Jonathan Drouin, if they want to critique Alex Galchenyuk for not being very good in his own end, I don't think Jonathan Drouin is a demon in his own end either. But the Canadiens got better skill today. And I think for the Sergachev, could they have gotten more, you think, for a guy like Sergachev?
Would have been hard in this market to get more, just because he's an unproven NHL player, and there were proven NHL defensemen on the market. Anaheim being one of those teams, Minnesota being another one of those teams, potentially Carolina being another one of those teams. So that would have made a difficult marketplace for him to get more than what they got for him. I think the team actually did well. But again, this is why I throw the age stuff out there. I know it doesn't seem like much now, but in your long-term planning, your two major moves that you've made, Weber for Subban, you know, Sergachev for Drouin, you got older. 4 years in each case, basically. That's tough. Like, for your long-term plan, I know people don't look at it that way because it's not their responsibility, but I'm telling you, the responsible management teams in the league do.
Okay, with that in mind, and knowing that the team's best player, Carey Price, is 29 years old and under contract for one more year, who knows beyond that, but at least one more year, and given the fact that Marc Bergevin is in his sixth year as general manager without discernible progress towards a Stanley Cup, can those factors, you would have to think they can accelerate the decision-making when a manager is thinking about making a big move. Is that fair?
Very fair. I don't think you're off base saying that. They're clearly trying to make a mark here. They tried to swing for the fence last year by bringing in Radulov and trading for Weber. It didn't work. They're trying to swing for the fence right now. I have to believe, when I heard about this deal this afternoon, I said to myself, there's got to be more coming. This can't be the only thing. It can't be. Because now their prospect poor would be an understatement. Now they've traded their best prospect, Sergachev, and now they only have Noah Juulsen left as a top prospect, a legitimate top prospect. They have one. That's not a lot. That's not a lot of collateral in the game. So they're swinging for the fence. That's what they're doing. It's clearly apparent they're swinging for the fence.
When you look at their team going into next season, and it doesn't look good, by the way, with the Radulov contract talks. It looks like they're very far apart at this time. So if they don't bring Radulov back and they add Drouin, are they a better team, Pierre, today, or are they a worse team?
Well, they're not as good because everybody's a year older. In terms of the older guys, they're a year older. It can be argued Radulov was their most consistent player last year, even though I would probably be able to debate on Pacioretty or maybe Markov. I mean, there's a bunch of guys you could debate about being the most consistent. But I don't know. I wouldn't be able to say they're better. I'd say they're pretty similar or maybe a little bit less. But here's what I would worry about. I would worry about Philadelphia being better. I'd worry about Tampa being better. I'd worry about Buffalo being better. And part of why Buffalo will be better is because Phil Housley's there. So Rasmus Ristolainen and Jake McCabe, two young defensemen, those guys are going to be better in a hurry. Jack Eichel is going to be better in a hurry, and he's already good. Buffalo is going to be good. And so those are three non-playoff teams. Two of them are in your division.
Do you think that Alex Galchenyuk is still in play?
Yes. I don't think. I know.
And more likely so, Pierre, do you think he's in play for a center of some type, or are they still going to be looking for somebody to play next to Weber, somebody along the lines of a puck-moving defenseman?
I couldn't answer that because I'm not going to breach confidentiality.
Okay. go ahead. Okay, that's cool. Just looking at Jonathan Drouin. Pierre, when he hits the ice for the Canadiens, come October, highly likely a Wednesday or Thursday night against the Leafs, that's the way the Canadiens usually start the season. How does he help them immediately?
Oh, the fans will be delirious. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to watch it. This is what I mean. They got a nice piece to the puzzle, but he's not the key piece to the puzzle. But he's a nice piece to the puzzle. He really is. So I'm excited that way. This is not like Ryan McDonough for Scott Gomez, where I was absolutely apoplectic because I knew that was going to be an unmitigated disaster. This one is not. This will not be a disaster. But again, the reason why I stress some of the other things is because they're trending towards going older, and long-term vision-wise, that's rough. It's going to create problems long-term. Short-term, it's going to be okay, but long-term, it's not. So that's what I'm concerned about. But no, he's a nice piece of the puzzle. I think there'll be a huge buzz around the city all summer because he's there. I think it's exciting.
Well, we would say that the skill level has increased in the point production. The goals are so difficult to come by, and I guess this is why he did it. And I mentioned it before to Rod. It's sometimes, you know, people wonder why they give up a young prospect. Look, the Ryan Johansson, Seth Jones, it's a classic hockey trade, and I think this fits that category, right? The Canadians got what they wanted, and the Lightning got what they wanted.
Careful. One's a centerman, one's a winger.
Well, Johansson was... And Johansson and Seth Jones was a center and a D.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm saying. Careful comparing these two deals. I wouldn't do that. Seth Jones and Ryan Johansson, both number 4 overall picks. you know, not a huge age discrepancy. I'd be careful on that comparable. I wouldn't do that because one's a centerman that can play as a first-line center. The other guy wasn't playing in a top six forwards for the team he was playing on that was a non-playoff team last year. I wouldn't be making that comparison, no.
Hesitate to ask you to speak for others, but how would you say other division rivals are seeing this trade right now, like the Panthers and the Senators and the Maple Leafs?
I think everybody's concerned about Tampa in a good way. I mean, bad if you're playing against them, good if you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think people think, well, I don't think, I know, just from having talked to some guys, people are wait-and-see mode on Montreal. What else are they going to do? There's got to be another shoe that drops. This can't be the roster that they're going into the season with. It would be shocking if this was the roster they were going into the season with.
Pierre, not just on the Canadiens, but league-wide, with all the people you talk with, is this just the beginning? Like, how many big trades like this are we going to see from now until July 1st?
I don't know how big, but I think there's going to be mucho deals. I really do. Like I said, just before I came on with you, I was talking to a GM. He's got three or four balls juggling right now. So he's and they're not small players. They're big-time players. They're good players. They're name recognition-type players. And he's got three or four other teams on the line and interest in these players. So I think you're going to see a lot of different kind of maneuvering. And I think Vegas could play a role in a lot of this too, based on some of the things I'm being told about what they're doing. So it's going to be an interesting time. It really is. This is one of the most aggressive times before the draft I've seen in a long time.
Well, if you're looking to make a deal, right, if you're looking to get a very rare commodity, as let's talk about the puck-moving defenseman, it's probably this year, Pierre, right? It's not going to happen next year because we're just not going to see the expansion draft. So if there's a deal to be made for a puck-moving defenseman, even if you're willing to overpay, it's got to be this summer. It won't be next summer.
That's a fair point. I think that's more than a fair point. You know, there are obviously some protection problems. We talked about Minnesota. We talked about Anaheim, potentially Carolina. The Rangers obviously got aggressive yesterday, buying out Danny Girardi. So there's some interesting things that have gone on, but I would agree with you on that, Simon, absolutely.
I know you don't like mentioning names specifically, but it's okay, I guess, if a name is already out there. And yep. Bob McKenzie talking about Jonas Brodin. Do you think that would be a fit for the Habs?
He's been out there for a while. Jonas' name's been out there for a while. Very good, very steady defenseman, very good teammate, excellent teammate. Better playing on the left side than the right side. He's a left shot, but he's tried to play on the right side, and I just think in the NHL he's stronger playing on his strong side, especially in the offensive zone. But Jonas is a nice player. He is. He would be a good fit in a lot of cities. I know of two teams in the Eastern Conference, both not in the Canadiens division, that have significant interest in him. Significant.
But you think he could be the type of player that could play with Shea Weber?
Yes.
Okay. And let's just talk about Mikhail Sergachev going the other way, Tampa Bay. Pierre, is there a chance? I don't know enough about the, you know, I know that they're top heavy with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're pretty good, actually, on the blue line. Can you see a scenario where he gets into that lineup this year?
Oh, I think he'll play in their top four. Yeah, I think he'll play in their top four. I've spoken with people in their scouting staff right after the deal was done. Here's the one thing. I didn't think he had a very good World Junior. I brought it up during the World Junior and after. I was there for a bunch of the games. I didn't think he had a good World Junior. Well, I talked to the Tampa scouts about that today. And the interesting thing is they said the problem was is that the Russian coaches didn't want him to play within his skill set. They just wanted him to get the puck and get rid of it. Well, that's not playing to his skill set. That's not playing to his strength. So he had a problem with that. But if you watched him play in the Memorial Cup, and I had a chance to do that, and I talked to a bunch of scouts after the deal was done, he had not just a good Memorial Cup. He had a phenomenal Memorial Cup. He was a dominant player. So I think he's going to be in their top four. I really do.
The other piece of news with the Canadiens, Pierre, is a 2-year contract for Charles Hudon. Is this more about just keeping him in the fold, or do you think they'll give him an honest-to-goodness chance with the NHL club?
I think he gets a chance. I mean, anytime you sign a player, it shows that you have confidence in the player and you want the player to succeed. You're not just signing him to sign him. You're signing him because you think he's got a chance to do something. And I would say that there's the potential for some openings there. So I would say he's got a chance, absolutely. That's a digestible number, too. What is it, 650, Rod, I think? So that's a digestible number.
Pierre, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I look forward to that. Thanks a lot. Maybe we'll have some more info tomorrow.
Yeah, we got the presser going live at 5:45. Mark Bergevin and Jonathan Drouin live from the Bell Center.
Nice.
Thank you, sir. Pierre McGuire, everybody, NBC hockey analyst. I like the deal. I will disagree there. I think that the Canadians, look, it's easier to say the Canadians are better now than they were 5 hours ago. That's a guy that wasn't playing in the NHL for a guy who scored over 20 goals in the NHL. I get the age part.